We are grateful for the brethren inviting us this afternoon. We trust that the Lord will give us mutual joy in our visit amongst the saints in Vancouver at this time. Chapter 19, and we will read, please, at verse 11 concerning Elijah. And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said unto him, "Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, thou shalt anoint Hazael to be king over Syria." Notice in the 18th verse, "So he departed thence, and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee.' And he said unto him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to thee?' And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him." Now in the second book of Kings and in chapter 2, verse 1, "And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal." Now look down at verse 8, verse 7. "And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went out and stood to view afar off, and they too," Elijah and Elisha, "they stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, 'Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee.' And Elisha said, 'I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me.' And he said, 'Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee.' And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, 'My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof.' And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, 'Where is the Lord God of Elijah?' And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. When the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, 'The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha.'" Now God will bless the reading of His Word in the closing part of the meeting. I would like to speak of these four different occasions where Elijah's mantle is brought before us in these readings. And first I would like to notice with you in chapter 19 of 1 Kings of the mantle of a discouraged prophet. Elijah is discouraged in the cave and he has his face wrapped in a mantle. Thank God he took it down and used it again. And I would like to speak a little to our hearts today, lest there be any discouraged prophets, their face all covered up with a mantle, when God has further work for them to do. Then I would like to notice with you in chapter 19, and again towards the end of the chapter, where we find the mantle of Elijah is cast upon Elisha, an exercised man whom God has singled out to use when he takes Elijah home to heaven. And I wouldn't be surprised we have brethren like that here today. Men whom God has singled out to fill the vacancies of beloved brethren who have gone home to glory. Then we noticed in chapter 2 of 2 Kings, the mantle of a faithful prophet. A mantle of power, which we've been hearing. And he smote the waters, and they too went over on dry ground. But finally we find dear Elisha, and he picks up the mantle that was dropped by Elijah, and he's able to perform the same thing in his day as the old man did that went before him. Now I trust that God will teach us the importance from this simple lesson today, the importance of divine principles unchanged in their power for this generation as they were in a past generation. Now, in keeping with what we've been hearing today, I trust that this word will not detract from the instruction given to the younger believers, to all of us for that matter, from our brother Oliver. First of all, let me mention a little regarding dear Elijah when he's discouraged. It is distressing at times to see how the devil seems so successful in setting aside men with such great potential. They fall out for one reason or another from the running. Men whose hands were once filled for God. And here I find a dear man, and if you read the former part of this chapter, you would wonder how in all the world could a man like this ever get to the place where he's hiding his face from God. And you know, beloved, we realize that there is many a man, and we have to shake our head. And I wonder if there's any here today, any dear brother. And you used to take part well. It used to be that the brethren were happy for your presence in the assembly meetings, where you contributed to their faith and to the health of the assembly. But for some reason or another, you've gotten to the place where dear Elijah got to. He got so discouraged. He went and laid down under a juniper tree and prayed, "Oh God," he said, I'm no more useful. I haven't been as useful as my fathers even. He said, I want to die. I want to go. Get out of it. And the Lord sent a messenger to strengthen him twice. How often God so kindly and faithfully sends messengers to strengthen us. Maybe in a ministry meeting, perhaps on a Lord's Day morning when we gather to remember our Lord. And we've risen from that meeting strengthened. And lo and behold, we go, the next thing we do is go and crawl in a cave somewhere. That's what dear Elijah did. He went and crawled in a cave. Can't get away from the angel, then I'll go and find an old cave and get in there. Nobody will find me there anyway. Not any use anyway, he said. Nobody wants me. Nobody wants to hear me. Nobody wants my preaching. Nobody wants me around. They're all chasing me. And anyway, I've been sitting away out here in the desert for all this time. God can't use me anymore. But one very noticeable thing, that when dear Elijah enwrapped his face in that mantle, he missed something. He missed the sight of the glory of God. Dear brother, one of the closest things to defeat in your life and mine is discouragement. When our spirits get down, and we succumb to the pressure of the devil, or the world, or just plain accumulation of responsibility. And it seems to so crowd the mind and crowd the spirit that we come to the place where we feel the only safe place is to go and crawl away and hide our face. But God sent an earthquake, and God sent the wind, and God sent the fire. Now these things were not intended for Elijah. They were intended for the nation in their sin. But when it came to the discouraged prophet, what God had for him was a still small voice. My dear brother, dear sister, I trust just to lift our soul today for a moment and beseech each of us to remember when the still small voice comes, that's not the time to hide your face. It's the time to take a fresh grip on the mantle and to go out to meet God. God had work for him to do, to anoint a king and to anoint a prophet. My, what noble work! What noble work God has for older brethren who perhaps in the latter days of their running, they feel that the time has come when they better let go. Pressure of the matters of the assembly and the pressure of their past life comes to the point in their life where they say, well, the whole thing's up. I'm just going to let go of everything. Don't you let go of anything. That's exactly what Elijah was ready to do. Just think of what Elisha would have missed. Just think of what Hazael the king would have missed. A divinely appointed anointing from a man who took a fresh grip on the mantle. And rather than cover his face, he went forth to meet the responsibility that his God had given to him. Dear brethren, I trust that the Lord will encourage our hearts. Now I cannot linger there. It would be a very interesting thing to notice in connection with Elijah in the cave that you have in this passage, to notice the contrast between the occasion when God passed by Moses and his face shone, and God passing by Elijah when he's in the cave. There are some lovely instructions in those two comparisons. But I want to turn to the next passage that we read in verse 19 of this chapter, where we find the mantle is cast upon Elisha, an exercised man. Now I look into this audience today, and we can see very readily that there are a number of younger men whom God has put into the assembly. And dear young man, let me say to you kindly, the very fact of your presence in a meeting like this today should exercise you and give you a constant humility of spirit to realize that God has been pleased to raise me up to this place and keep me here, to preserve me until this hour. He desires to use me. But I would like you to notice that God never used Elisha in independence of Elijah. What an important thing it is for us to realize, those of us who are younger, to understand, dear brethren, that if Elijah's mantle is ever going to be in my hand, with the power that Elisha experienced, it must first be given to me by the hand of the older man. Don't you ever take it from him. You just wait until God's time comes to exercise that older man that he casts his mantle upon your shoulder. It is a good thing when we see the assemblies understanding the principles of the New Testament in this regard, that older brethren understand their limitations and are exercised to find men who will fill the gap and be raised up by God. Dear Elisha, he was prepared. This wasn't his first moment of exercise. Here's a young man who had had dealings with God. He's linked with the 12 yoke of oxen, which undoubtedly speak of Israel and their relationship of stewardship for God. But here is Elisha, and he's with them laboring. And when Elijah cast his mantle upon him, he was ready to go. All the bridges burned behind him. Built a big fire. Burnt all the bridges. It's all for God now. This is it. A turning point in his life. Now may I just appeal to younger men in relation both to the work and to the leadership of the assemblies and to usefulness on a gospel platform in the regular assembly meetings. Let me say, beloved younger brethren here today, if you're going to be of use for God as we've been hearing, there's going to come a point when you burn all the bridges. Nothing will interfere with the first priority of fitting in with my brethren to be useful in the work of God. Dear Elisha, look at him as he leaves, as he slays the bullocks, as he takes the yokes and he burns them. The yokes are broken, the bridges are burned, and dear Elisha stands, and he says, I'm ready to go. Home he goes to his mother and father and bids them goodbye. They likely knew the day would come. They could see it in his pattern, the day would come. The man's sold out to God. The man wants to be like Elijah. And mind you, it wasn't an easy day to follow Elijah. It was a dark day as far as Israel's temptations and sadness and their ungodliness creeping into the camp was concerned. There were few men that would stand alone. But here's a young man, and he breaks all the yokes. Dear young brother, may I ask you, do you have any yokes in your life that need to be broken in order for you to go wholeheartedly for God? Associations that are unbecoming of service for God? Associations that perhaps in a sports world or associations in social circles? Oh yes, they will hinder you. The Word of God says it. They will hinder you from usefulness for God. Or you will remain in the assembly. Thank God. Whatever you do, don't ever consider leaving God's assembly. You'll never find anything else like it, for there's nothing else to compare with it. But let me say to you kindly, if you're ever going to be really useful to see the assemblies built up and maintained and sustained, you're going to have to be a man that'll break the yokes. Burn all the bridges and start out in a bold stand for God. Now notice the third occasion that we find the mantle, and it has to do with dear Elijah himself. And Elijah is found in chapter 2 of the 2 Kings, standing by the Jordan. My, what a sight is this. Does our mind not go back to Moses, when he also stood by the Jordan with a rod in his hand? Or pardon me, Joshua, when he and Moses going over the Red Sea and Joshua going over the Jordan, he's going to lead a whole nation through on dry ground. But now it has come down just to a remnant that are going to experience the same power of God. Only two men are standing here now. The other servants, the other prophets, they're all looking on and they're wondering what is ever going to happen now. When Elijah takes the mantle and he strikes the Jordan. Beloved, Elijah knew God, and such was the acquaintance of that dear man with God in his own experience, in his own personal way. He knew God down by a brook. He knew God when old black ravens brought him meat to eat. He knew God when there was only one cake left in the pantry. He got to know God. He knew God when he stood amidst the enemies and they were gathered all around him. And in their fanatical, charismatic dances, they cut themselves with knives and cried for a divine spirit to appear who never appeared. And he stood calmly trusting his God amidst evil doctrine, amidst immorality, amidst people who were away from God in heart and discouraged. He stood for God. Oh, beloved, may God preserve us in the assembly still, and build us up, and give fresh courage. Thank God for men amongst us who are able to handle the mantle with power. And there are such, thank God. Some of them are being called away home to heaven. They left the mantle behind. A mantle that God is waiting for young men to pick up. Lay claim to the same power that the man that dropped it claimed. See him as he strikes that Jordan. He opens a path. He's making a way. Dear brethren, how good to have men who can make clear a way for God's people. Who can lay open a pathway through the Jordan. Who have God with them. And when divine truth is opened up. And when there comes the exposition of truth. It lays clearly a path for the Lord's people. Dear young brethren, may I say to you kindly, stand by the men who will lay open a path for God's people to walk in. A path that will lead them through the Jordan. A path that will bring them as a divine testimony to the power of God amongst His people. The other prophets, as they looked on, they had to acknowledge God is with them. My, how precious. He'd just been to Gilgal. He had just been to the Jordan and then to Jericho. And now he has come as he stands by the Jordan for the last time. Something sweet about it, isn't there? See him as he stands. See that dear brother as he stands in the assembly with the Word of God. Dear saintly old brother, perhaps. A man who has walked quietly and yet faithfully for God. Men who have ministered to us divine truth that has opened a path for us many a time. And now he's doing it for the last time. I want to ask, dear younger brethren here today, are we exercised brethren? To be like the last little point that we have pondered at the end of the chapter. When Elijah disappeared, Elisha figured, well there, now the old boy's gone. Guess we'll just make some changes now or else we'll do something on our own. Anyway, I think I could get myself a mantle, a nice new one. You know, the old thing's tattered by now. After all, it kept the old man warm when he was a shepherd. It was an old mantle. But I like to think of dear Elisha, dear brethren, I say this kindly. Now you can see that I'm not an old man. Hope you can anyway. Because this man here, he knows I'm older than him, but I'm not old. I'll tell you that much anyway. And at least I'm going to keep stamping my feet till it hurts so much that I can't stamp it anymore. Anyway. But the point that I want to make is very simply this. Dear younger brethren, we can never do better than trust the same God our fathers trusted. Dear young men here today, may I say to you kindly, there's being put into your hand, upon your shoulder, a very precious stewardship. God has planted for His name's sake in this city many assemblies of God. It is precious. It is an honor to be associated with them. And whenever we move amongst God's assemblies, we're thankful we're there. They're planted by God. They're miraculous in their beginning. How marvelous. And they're miraculous in their maintenance. There's absolutely nothing can parallel the assembly in the maintenance and the means by which God would have His honor maintained, His people fed, and the intelligence of His people to grow, their devotion to be kept warm, and their worship to be intelligent. Brethren, there's no parallel anywhere in this old world. Thank God that we have the mantle of Elijah. So he takes it and he tries the same thing. I wonder if the gospel meetings now will be the same as they were in a past generation. I wonder if the ministry meetings will be the same. I wonder if the assemblies will be the same now. Now that the dear old brethren are gone. Thank God as he strikes the Jordan, the very same thing happened. Dear brethren, with all our hearts, we're hoping we'll see the same thing in Woodland Drive. We hope you'll see the same thing in Main Street. The same thing in every assembly that's represented here. The secret is, don't change mantles. It was preserved for a new generation. And dear brethren and sisters, those of us who are a little older, got to be careful now, I'm in a spot. But those of us who have had a little more experience in the faith, let us be very careful to realize one of our chief responsibilities is to preserve the mantle for a new generation. And dear younger brethren, your responsibility is to take the mantle and use it. Use it. He didn't take it home for a souvenir. Dear old Archie Stewart, one time he talked about, you know, Samson. When he killed the Philistines with the jawbone of an ass, and he said, and he didn't put it on the piano to look at, you know, varnish it or something. He used it. Oh, beloved, may God graciously help us to take hold of the Word of God in all its preciousness, as we are sure that our brethren are seeking to do. We're not criticizing. I hope that we have not come across that way in any degree. Our desire is to strengthen the hands of younger men and older brethren, that together we might see the God of Elijah making a way through the Jordan, handling the same mantle. Preserve it. Take a hold of it, brethren. Use it. And God graciously give us mutual joy at this time and throughout the experience of the assembly to be able to say, the God of Elijah is with Elisha. My, how nice. When brethren being raised up will fill the responsibilities of oversight, fill the platform with ability, humble ability, ability that is in subjection and control of the Spirit of God to feed the flock, to enrich the assemblies, to build them intelligently in divine truth, and to lead us in the paths of power with God until the shout, brethren, which cannot be long. May the Lord help us to lay a hold of the mantle. Take it, brethren. Don't be discouraged. Dear brethren, don't hide your face. Take a fresh grip on the mantle and reach for the Jordan, and God is still the same. He will prove His power and encourage our hearts in keeping with His heart's desire. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we have sought in our simplicity this afternoon to lay claim to Thine unfailing and unchangeable grace and ability and desire to bless us. And we turn to Thee now in prayer. We thank Thee. We know that Thou livest. We are able to look into Thy face with confidence because we have been brought near through the blood of Christ. We thank Thee for the open heaven. We thank Thee, O God, for the man upon the throne. We fain would bow at His precious feet this afternoon. He is altogether worthy of every note of praise that our hearts are capable of bringing to Him, and every moment of obedience that our lives could give, we would lay gladly at His feet. O our Father, we would desire to be like dear Elisha in some measure, and like dear Daniel, men who were willing to give everything to that which pertained to the glory of God. Graciously strengthen our hearts. Bless our dear brethren today and sisters, and grant that the assemblies might know increasingly and continuously the presence of the Lord God of Elijah. We look to Thee to bless us and cause that our brethren and sisters might be cheered in their souls. And should any be discouraged, Lord, restore them. Give them a fresh grip on Thyself, we pray, and upon Thy holy word, that they might reach out for God in days to come, like they did in days past. We ask these mercies as we thank Thee for ever saving us. O God, that we were chosen, humbles our hearts, and we trust as we look afresh upon Calvary's tree, and behold the precious blood that flowed, and the lovely face of the lover of our souls, and the man who now has emptied the tomb and the cross and fills the throne. We pray that our whole life might be laid out for Him, for He is altogether worthy. We look to Thee then as we wait for His coming, and give Thee thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We might sing a little hymn in closing. 447. 447. Teach me Thy way, O Lord. Teach me Thy way. Thy gracious aid afford. Teach me Thy way. 447.